Silestra. It's on the edge of Sofia, the edge of Bulgaria, I mean. Sofia is the capital. And he was a very, very special person. I've been to see him a few times. It's unbelievable that it says there on the tzion itself that any person that goes to the mikveh and davens with all his kavana, then the peliyoyitz guarantees that his tefillos will be answered, that he will make sure the tefillos are answered, which is it's rare to see such a thing in writing. He actually wrote it himself. The peliyoyitz said that before he passed away. He in a certain way, he gave up his life because there was a plague that was happening in Bulgaria. And the Peleoites said, I'll take care of it. And the plague stopped and the Peleoites passed away. So he was a person who gave himself up for the Tzibor. He wanted no fame. He didn't want anything. So that's why he moved to this far off place in Silestra. It's actually closer to Romania than it is to anywhere else in where's that place? Bulgaria? Not far from Bucharest. Anyway, so we usually learn some Peleoites. It's a fascinating sefer. It's just out. It's by the Aleph Beis. We just pick pieces. It goes in order of Aleph Beis. So like you want to learn about Eretz Yisrael, so we just open up to Eretz Yisrael, and there's a beautiful piece on Eretz Yisrael. You want to learn about Purim. You want to learn about Kas. You want to learn about mother-in-laws. He's got everything in there. Yeah, I don't think he has a piece on mother-in-laws, but he has lots and lots of different interesting things. And usually we try to do something that has some sort of connection with what we're learning in the Chovos Talmidim. Chovos Talmidim is a sefer that was written by the Piasetzner Rebbe. I spoke about it. We kind of finished the sefer at the end of last month. I spoke about it then, what a matana HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, that he opened my eyes to the sefer Chovos Talmidim. It's written by someone called the Piasetzner Rebbe. He was a Chassidish Rebbe. He was an enikel of Rebbe Elimelech Milizhensk. Rebbe Elimelech Milizhensk is known as the Noyem Elimelech. And the Noyem Elimelech is buried in Poland. It's one of the biggest yard sites that there is in the entire world, is the yard site of Noyem Elimelech. It's after Purim, right around, like a little bit less than a week after Purim. And it's an amazing place, even for Kohenim to go. You go to Noyem Elimelech, and mamish, the simcha that's going on over there is Ein L'Shair. Thousands of people go to Noyem Elimelech. I've been there many times. I've been there for Shabbos a few times. And it's mamish, from the most amazing Shabbosim that I ever had was Shabbos in Luzhensk. So this is an einikel of the Noyem Elimelech. And he writes here about the sefer that he writes in the beginning. Any person that learns this sefer, shekol echad miYisrael sheyilmad b'sifri, should learn from my svarim, u'betach schus avoyse akadoshim Rabbi Elimelech Luzhensk, the Koznitz Magid, and all the other ones, will yamud loy l'chol beisai v'zeu b'bo. Person learns the sefer will have special schus that the Noyem Elimelech, Koznitz Magid, and other ones would all will stand as a schus for him. So that's what he writes here about someone that learns his svarim. Now, there's actually a sefer that's more famous than the Chovos Talmidim. It's a sefer which is called Eish Kodesh. People call him the Eish Kodesh, the Piasetzner Rebbe. His name was Reb Kolonimus Kalman Shapira. If you have one of these svarim, they actually has a picture of him in the back. He was just such a beautiful person. Reb Kolonimus Kalman Shapira is known as the Eish Kodesh. Because the other sefer, Eish Kodesh, it was more dramatic. You see, the Eish Kodesh is a sefer he wrote during World War II. He was living in Warsaw. He was considered the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. He was living in Warsaw. He buried it in a milk bottle. They still have the milk bottle. He buried it, he put it in a milk bottle, a milk canister, and buried it in the ground. And it said there, and you could see in the front, it says, anyone who found this, if you could please send it to my family in Tel Aviv so that they could print my svarim. And they found it. They found the sefer. And it was just so dramatic. And he's known as the Eish Kodesh. That's the sefer. But he said about himself that this is his main sefer. He didn't say exactly that. He said, Chovos Talmidim is a sefer that I wrote that if I wouldn't have known that I wrote, I wouldn't have believed it, because it's something that's beyond my capability. This is something beyond me. It was like Hashem's matana to the world is the sefer Chovos Talmidim. And I know that Rabbi Avram Shor, I heard him say, he said that it should be a chayiv on every father and every Rebbe to learn the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim. That's how critical and important it is. He was talking particularly about the introduction, which we'll get to, but the Sefer in general, and I've spoken many times, those of you who've been here for a while know that I've spoken about the brilliance that's in the Sefer, that Abraham J. Twersky said was in the Sefer, that Dr. Pelkowitz, all the big psychologists speak about the amazing psychology and insight that the Piasetz and the Rebbe had. Anyway, so we learn the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim. The other reason he was called Esh Kodesh is because that really personified who he was. He was a holy fire. And if you read a little bit about his life, it was a very tragic life. It was a very special life. He lost a tremendous amount during his lifetime. He lived through the war. He lost his son that he loved very dearly. And he lost his daughter-in-law. He lost all of his family was dying around him, being killed either by bombs falling or by illness or whatever it might be. And he stayed strong. And the whole time he was telling everyone, we have to serve Hashem b'simcha, and we have to be strong. He was giving everyone chizik. And he was writing the Esh Kodesh, he wrote it. And if you understand, every once in a while you get a peek into where he's pushing through all the challenges that he has in his life. And he's trying to say that we have to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the holy fire that was the Piasetz Nereba. So that his life was something very, very special. There's stories about Piasetzna Talmidim. Is a beautiful story about some of the Piasetzna Chasidim that we hear in Eretz Yisrael. Akopanim, we're learning his farm. Now, what we're up to is the end of the Sefer. We really finished it, and there's I think it's called an epilogue, the end, it's a summary, a synopsis. It's in the old printing. This is the old one that I've been using for forever. Not forever, because I've only been learning it for around 10, 11 years. On page Kuf Mem Gimel, in the old one. In the new one, it's on page Kuf Chaf Aleph. Now, we do have a lot of Chovetz Talmidims. I strongly advise you to have one, to look inside, to read it along with me. There are certain discrepancies between the two different texts, and we're going to be using the new one, because someone gave it to me as a present, and I appreciate that. But even if you don't look, just hearing the language, it's so beautiful. But the Maisa, the Sefer was written in stages. In other words, he starts off with one tone. By the time you get to the end of the Sefer, he's already expecting you to understand certain givens. There's certain things that he's taking for granted. So those of you that have been here for a while, I think you can connect more with, now we're at the end. We're like, what I'm reading now is just like he's the wrap up. So for some of you, it might sound a little bit strange. You might not be able to relate 100% to the intensity, to the expectation. But when you start from the beginning of the Sefer, and he slowly builds you, and there are changes that are happening inside of you as you learn the Sefer, I can guarantee you it's going to happen, because it happens to everyone when you learn the Sefer. And then when you get to the end, then you start being able to relate to these ideas he's talking about. Now, this is just Chovetz Talmidim. There's more, by the way. Those of you that want, there's a Sefer called Hachsharis Avreichim, which is there's Talmidim, and then there's Avreichim. And then he keeps moving on, and then there's something called B'nei Machshava Toiva. Okay? That's a Sefer where he starts talking about things like Gili Elio Anavi and Ruach HaKodesh, and he's moving us up. This is the beginning. This is beginners. This is students' obligation. This is for us when we're young. But just so you should know, you can graduate from this eventually and move on to bigger things. I'd just like to make a few small announcements before we start. We're not going to be doing too much tonight, Chovetz Talmidim, but a little bit we'll get to do. The first thing is that there was a fascinating, maybe even historic meeting that happened over Bein Hazmanim, where many of the yeshivas got together, many of the Rosh Yeshivas, and discussed the state of Yeshiva Bachrim in general, and different things came on the table. One of them, things that came on the table, is the excessive abuse that's happening in the yeshivas to alcohol. That there's the alcohol consumption that's happening with Yeshiva Bachrim is way out of control. I don't know if you know, but there was people that actually posted in very public places about, you know, yeshivas and camps and people getting drunk and all this types of craziness. And it I think we all have to agree that it definitely is out of control. We're not talking about individuals right now. We're just talking about the situation at large is out of control. And all of the yeshivas that were there all accepted upon themselves that they're going to have a strong policy towards alcohol on the yeshiva premises. At least there should be some sort of place where a person can feel like he can escape it. So in the past, our policy has always been that it's not a question of telling people not to do it. It's a question of teaching them how to do it properly. It's something that I do really believe in. I believe in teaching people how to use things properly. There are certain things that we're not ready for at all. So people might, some people say, well, tell me how to use my iPhone properly. But I don't think that that's for Bachrim, to be using iPhones properly. I don't think so. There's a time for that also, maybe, could be, but not now. But when it comes to making a l'chaim, I understand that there's a time and a place. There's a concept called Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar V'Yayin. There's such a thing, right? Chazal talk about it. But it's being abused. And as we are also part of the network of yeshivas, so here on moving forward, we're going to have to change our policy, which is that even though we're going to allow, and not only allow, but appreciate when it's done properly, to be able to enhance your Simchas Yom Tov, Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar V'Yayin, it should be done properly. But nowhere does it say Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar V'Vodka. Nowhere does it say Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar and whiskey. It doesn't say that. So we're going to strike whiskey, vodka, bourbon, all that stuff, hard alcohol, from our menu. And right from now on, we're serving super drink. We're going to serve some RC, some water. If the Olam wants to have some wine, that's understandable. And as long as it's being done responsibly, so we don't have a problem with that. Now, just to be clear, this is not a yeshiva policy. This is not a yeshiva rule. There is really only one rule in yeshiva, and that rule is punishable by death. This is not a yeshiva rule, but this is being part of the network of yeshivas. That's what we're going to do also, which means that if there is any whiskey or vodka, do not be surprised if it's not there when you get back, because it's not going to be we're not going to have it in the dormitory anymore or anything like that. And if someone has already invested significant amounts of money in a bottle that he feels like he has to get rid of, so I do have a friend that does buy closed bottles, so by all means, you could let me know and he'll buy it at a premium, and so you don't have to lose any money. That's number one. Number two is that tonight, on Thursday night, the yeshiva is going to be renting out the brand new Kraft Family Stadium, which is just a little bit down the road. It's quite an impressive place. If you're interested in taking part in the festivities, you could speak to my dear Chavrusa Tully Rubin. He's going to be in charge. That's Tully over there. Welcome back, Tully. Okay, announcement number three is tonight is the yahrzeit of the Tosfos Yom Tov. Tosfos Yom Tov, his name is Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller. He's buried in Krakow, not Warsaw, right? He's buried in Krakow. Who's the Rav in Krakow? And he also a fascinating life. He was in jail, and there's lots of different stories about the Tosfos Yom Tov. The Tosfos Yom Tov lived in the time of there were the pogrom of Tach V'Tat. Tach V'Tat was terrible, terrible persecution happening to the Jewish people, mamish massacres, like to the point that, like Tisha B'Av material, literally. And the Tosfos Yom Tov was trying to figure out, what are we doing wrong? Why are so many people being killed? So he fasted for days that Hashem should be megala to him what the problem is. And the Tosfos Yom Tov had a dream. And in the dream, he was told that all this is happening because people are talking in shul. People are talking during davening. That's why all this is happening. And the Tosfos Yom Tov wrote a special tefillah, which the Mashgiach said this past Shabbos, a special Yehi Ratzon for people that don't talk during davening. Because he was trying to restore Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, respect for a Beis HaKnesses. He was trying to restore the chshivas of davening. It used to be back in the day, the Gabbai would scream. You got to know this, really. Shtika yofe b'shas ha-tfile. The Gabbai would scream that. It's brought in halacha. Shtika yofe b'shas ha-tfile. And the Rashi Tevis of that word is seva. Shtika yofe b'shas ha-tfile is seva, which means long life. You want a long life? Shtika yofe b'shas ha-tfile. It's brought down, actually. The question is, should they say that on Rosh Hashanah or not? Why not? Because being on Rosh Hashanah, it's in the middle of Shofaros. And what are you not supposed to do? You're not supposed to talk. So by Musaf, is he allowed to announce, Shtika yofe b'shas ha-tfila? That's the discussion. Al kopanim, not talking during davening, is a skulat for Arichas Yom. So, Beis Hashem, later we're going to talk about what this story has to do with this year's Europe trip, with our destination. But we did, I think it was a year ago, around a year ago, we did a campaign. The campaign was that the Olim should be quiet during davening, should not talk during davening. We asked the Olim for 1 month, right? 1 month. 1 month of not talking. See, what happened was there was a boy in yeshiva whose friend was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of Yena Machala. And he was like frantic to do something for his friend. So we decided this is what we're going to do. We're going to get the Olam to be Makabel for 1 month, not to talk during davening. And last I checked, miraculously, he's recovering. And it's a miracle because they didn't even think there was any treatment for him. Now, I would like to ask if we could do the same type of thing once again. Now, it happens to be that today we're getting back a results for a biopsy that was done to my oldest brother. His name is David Ben Chana. His name was changed to Rafal David Ben Chana because he's very, very sick. My oldest brother is very, very sick right now. And it's not a biopsy as to whether or not he's got sickness or not. It's just how bad is it? Is it to the point where they can't even do treatment anymore? Or is there still like some sort of, you know, medical, is there some sort of, you know, way to deal with this? Is there an option? That's where we're at. Now, I haven't spoken about it much in yeshiva, but it's definitely taking a tremendous toll on my family. And what I'm asking is if it's possible we could try to be makabel for the next month to try not to talk during that. I understand that some people are not used to that. It's not, they're used to just, and you even sometimes lose yourself and you end up starting to talk. And it doesn't mean, like, you know, no words are going to come out of your mouth. What it means is that I'm not going to, when I'm cognizant, I'm aware of what's happening, I'm not going to continue a conversation. I'm not going to have a conversation. I'm not going to engage in a conversation. My hope is that Matzchus Beis Hashem, my brother, his name is Rafal David Ben Chana, should have Refuah Shleima, Mitoch Shoch Shachar Yisrael. Now, last time we did this, we also put in a little like incentive in order like to give the guys a little bit of a, like a drive to do it, which is we got robes for the Bachrim. Baruch Hashem, we have a sponsor again to do that. So anyone that wants to be involved that has not yet gotten a robe, the sponsor is for those that have not yet gotten a robe. So then you could speak to Yanky Klein. Yanky's going to be taking care of this initiative. What? I want to thank Ishmael Lazar for always being involved in these types of amazing things. And if you're on the phone, you could also do it, okay, Zevik? Who else we got here? Zevik and? And recording. Zevik, you could also get one if you like one. Anyway, let's get started over here with the Chovetz Talmidim. We just have a few minutes. Beis Hashem, Naseh v'Natzliach. One page, Kuf Chof Aleph. Tzivuyim ve'azhoros, which is, this is like his last, his will, his warnings, his what's it called when a person leaves over, his thing he left over, his will, right, something like that, like Igeres Agra, Igeres Aramban, like, you know, like a parent leaves over to his children, like, yeah, that stuff. Okay, Rabbis Bahem, Tamtzis Prokim Akoidmin. Many things that you're going to see here is a Tamtzis, which means it's a concentration of the chapters Akoidmin that we saw previously. That's why I said he's already talking on a very high level. Hey Nochoin, she Yisraglu al Tamidim Behem Lezachram. And it's good that the Talmidim should go over in order that you should remember it. So really, this is kind of a summary of the things we spoke about before. If a person is still lying on a bed in the morning, you're still lying in your bed. Hashem, the God of the heavens and the earth, kvar mitzape olecha b'yeshiva. He's already waiting for you in yeshiva. L'lamedcha es toirasoi be'ahava u'besimcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting to teach you his Torah. You know who teaches Torah? You know who's hamelamed Torah li'amo Yisrael? Hashem. That's what we say every morning. Baruch atah Hashem hamelamed Torah li'amo Yisrael. It doesn't say ha-lomad Torah, someone who taught Torah. Hamelamed, Hashem is teaching us Torah. Mipiv das usvuna, from Hashem's mouth is das. Hashem teaches us Torah every day. When we're sitting here in the Beis Medrash, we're sitting. The Shechina is kenegdoi kol makoyim. The pasuk says, "Asher azkir Hashemi." Anywhere you say my name, you say learn Torah. Avoy alecha, I'm there learning Torah with you. Hashem teaches us Torah. So when you get up in the morning, Hashem's waiting for you in the Beis Medrash, and he's excited and he's happy. He wants to learn with you. Altis atzel. Be lazy and turn over. Kum maher, get up quickly. Shanes es masnecha, gird your loins, whatever that means. Verutz el cheik avicha shebashamayim, and run to the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your Father in heaven. Run to the Beis Medrash. It's an interesting thing. The beginning of Shulchan Aruch starts, Hisgaber ke'ari, Lamoid baboiker, which means you should be strong like a lion when you get up in the morning. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a safari before. There's a very nice safari outside of Hamburg that Leib told me about. There's a beautiful safari there that if you ever go to a safari, so, and you see lions, lions are the laziest animals I think I've ever saw. They're like the boringest things. I'm always like, you know, my kids are always, let's go to the lions. We're going to go to the lions. What do? They're just sitting there. They don't even move, lions. Other animals maybe walk around a little bit. You know, you want to like throw them like a slab of meat or something, see what happens. But no, nothing. There's never any. What does it mean, Iskabra Ka'ari Lamud Baboikir? It's the laziest animal I think I ever saw. I think the pshat is as follows. Lions look lazy, but when they get up, whew. They get up, they pounce, right? They sit there, and when there's nothing to do, they do nothing. But when they have something that they're like, there's a prey there, or they've got like a mission, their time that takes them, it's like unbelievable. It's like it looks like they're like heavy and tired, and whoo, and they just jump. So if you realize you have someone waiting for you in the base. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's waiting for you in the base medrash. You might be the laziest thing on the planet, but you should pounce like a lion. It takes tremendous gvura that the lion has to overcome that, and he does it. Hiskaber ka'ari, lamod baboiker, and run. Aval, however, im balayla b'li oil u'b'li simcha tishkav, if at night, without any burden, without any simcha, you go to sleep. You're not excited about tomorrow. And you don't realize that you have a mission tomorrow. You go to sleep at night without any of that. The second thing it brings down in the Shulchan Aruch starts with Hisgaber Ka'ari, and then it starts talking about going to sleep. So we learn halacha seder in the morning. We're starting right at the beginning. So we ask the question, why are you talking about going to sleep? We're talking about the day. You started the day. There's so much still. And then we start talking about washing negel vasser, and then we start talking about berachos hashachar, and we talk about shachris, mincha, mairiv, and then night. Why is the second halacha about going to sleep? And the answer is because if you really want to talk about getting up in the morning, the first thing you got to talk about is going to sleep. There's a fascinating correlation between the people that stay up late and those that don't get up early in the morning. It's fascinating. So a person has to go to sleep at night with two things. He has to understand he has something to do tomorrow. He's got a mission. He has an oil. He has a burden. There's this idea, concept, which I've heard of in years past, something called FOMO. I'm sure that you guys have heard of it somewhat. FOMO is Rosh Tevis, for fear of missing out. So people stay up late. They tell me, I cannot go to sleep if anyone else is awake, because I got FOMO. I got FOMO. I'm just wondering, I said, in the history of your lifetime, what important has happened after 12:30 at night that you've been like waiting for that big thing? You know, I'm waiting for who knows what's going to happen at 2:30 in the morning. You never know. I might miss the biggest event in history. Who knows? I said, but you're missing out on your life because you're not getting up on time. You're missing out on the most important part of the day, says the Pesach Rebbe, is the morning. Real FOMO should be that I got to get to sleep as soon as I can because I don't want to miss out on the morning. But the problem is, I don't got anything to do tomorrow. There's really nothing. I don't really feel a mission. If a person goes to sleep at night, be'oil, feeling that he has something to do, be'simcha, he's excited about tomorrow. I'm going to make tomorrow an amazing, exceptional day. I'm going to make it a great day. So then he wakes up in the morning and he wakes up with a jump. Gamba boiker. He's going to wake up. Tzape balayla. You should be waiting at night. Mosai okum. I want to start tomorrow. I want to make tomorrow a great day. I want to be victorious tomorrow. Ve'eyeh shakua b'toyres Hashem. I want to be able to learn tomorrow, that I should be engrossed in my learning. Mukaf me'ar k'dushasai. And I'll be surrounded by a light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Surrounded by His light. Ha'amed mayim samech l'mitascha. This is a tremendous skula, my friends. It's called negel vasser. Negel vasser is if a person would put water by his bed. Now, the way it works is as follows. You don't even have to get out of bed. All you have to do is just lean over, wash your hands. Now, the reason we wash our hands in the morning is because there's a certain tumah that has entered the body while you're sleeping. Tumah makes a person heavy. Tumah makes a person feel heavy. When you wash your hands, all of a sudden, the tumah is lifted from you and you feel light. And you'll have an easier time get out of bed. Now, you might not believe me. Don't. Please don't believe me. Try it for yourselves. Just try it 3 times in a row. You have to get one of those negel vasser buckets and a negel vasser cup. They come with caps nowadays, so you don't have to worry about it spilling. It's great, because back in the day, it was a disaster if you get up and kick your negel vasser, and it's oh, I can't believe I did that. Or worse, when I was newly married, my daughter used to come in the room. It was her favorite thing to do. Whip! and then the negel vasser is all over the floor. Now they come with caps. There's nothing to worry about. But try it. Try it. Lean over, wash your hands. And all of a sudden you feel like you might not understand the feeling, but the tumah, which now has left your body, and your body suddenly feels light. So hamid negel mayim samach lemitascha. Korei es Shema bekavana. Read Shema at night with kavana. V'have mamik b'machshava zu ad asher tishan. And go to sleep with that machshava of Shema. Or if a person has other machshavas of dveikus, reading a book about gedolim, I must say, for anything else that's going to help you fall asleep, because you might not find it that interesting. But that's fine, because at least you're going to sleep mitoicha machshava tahira. Azgam ba'boiker tizdareis tismach v'tikpoitz. In the morning, person's going to be elacrious. Tismach means zrizos. He's going to be energetic. Tismach, he's going to be happy. Tikpoitz, he's going to jump out of bed l'toiras elokeinu, to learn the Torah of Hashem. We're going to continue with this and more Beis Hashem, hopefully next week, my friends. I will meet you into the dining room in a few minutes.